moments tonight, and I want to just share a little bit. And I want to talk tonight about a sermon or a message that I'm directing sort of to Wesley, but all of us can take part of it. Kids, I believe you've got your notebooks handy. And the word of the night that I want the kids to count is the word future. Future. So every time you hear future, mark it down. I'm not promising you a prize tonight. We're just going to see how you keep up, okay? For those of you who don't know what I'm doing, we're giving the kids something to listen for, something to do to sort of help teach them how to pay attention to sermons and take notes. And a few weeks ago, we did a sermon in my while I was preaching this series on but the Holy Ghost, and I told them every time I said the word but, and I said the word a lot. And so there was a lot of buts in that service. One T. Tonight the word is future. And that brings me to my title, which is Words for Your Future. And Wesley, we're celebrating the fact that he's walking into his future. I was so glad that Pastor Brian shared the testimony of his words this morning as he encouraged the young people and the teenagers to have a plan, but to always let God change the plan if he needs to. Is there anybody other than me that God's changed your plans? Right. When I was 15, I had my life laid out. I knew exactly what I was going to do. When I was 15, I knew that I would graduate at the age of 17. I'd already talked to my mom and my dad was willing to sign for me. And so right out of high school graduation, I was going to be joining the Air Force. I was going to join the Air Force, number one, because I wanted to fly a plane. Number two, because their basic training only has two people to a room, and it's the easiest of all of them. But I was going to join the Air Force. I was going to go fly planes for the Air Force. I was going to fly jets. That's what I wanted to do. Now, looking back at it, I probably would have never had the grades or the IQ to be able to do that, but that was my plan. My plan was to fly planes for the Air Force for 20 years. And when I was 37 years old, I was going to retire from the Air Force with a 20-year career and a 20-year retirement package. And then I was going to go and fly for one of the major American airlines somewhere in the country or around the world, and I was going to fly for them for 20 years and then retire with a 20-year retirement from the Air Force and a 20-year retirement from the private sector. And at 57 years old, I was going to play golf and lay on a beach. Well, I'm 10 years away from that, and I have a retirement from nowhere, and I had all that laid out at 15. At 16, God said, I want you to preach. At 17, I started preaching. Do I regret that I don't have the money I thought I would have? No. I wish I had the money. You know, stop by that basket, put a card in that basket for Wesley. Put some pieces of paper, preferably with presidents on them, and you know that's a great thing. I wish I had it, but more than all of that, I've had the ability to follow Christ. I've raised a family that has seen me follow Christ. They've seen me fail. They've seen me repent. But they see me try. And that is an amazing thing. But as I begin to think about Wesley, and I begin to think, especially as I heard today even more about his idea of letting God change his plans, I think my key word to you is find your hope. Your future is only going to be as joyful as your hope. And when we don't have hope, we don't have a tomorrow. I'll get to the scripture in a minute, and I'll let y'all hoot and holler here in a second. But let me just talk about hope for just a second. Number one, let me give you the Sandifer definition for hope. If you look in the New American Sandifer Dictionary, and you look up the word hope, this is what it says. It says that hope is the belief that tomorrow can be better than today. That's why hope brings joy. You ever had a bad day? I hope tomorrow's better. You ever had a good day? Man, I hope tomorrow's better than this. Yesterday we had a beautiful day for the Run for the Sun ride. And when I got home, I said, man, I hope it's like this on the 20th. I looked today and there's a 30% chance of rain on the 20th. But that means that there is a 70% chance that it won't rain. Thank you for saving me. Like I said, there's more than one reason why I wasn't going to fly planes for the Air Force. But when you believe that tomorrow can be better today, you have hope. When I look in the Bible, I find outside of eternity, which is heaven or hell, I find one hopeless place on earth. And that hopeless place was the Garden of Eden. Because in the Garden of Eden, before the fall of man, there was no need for tomorrow to be better than today. There was no need for hope until Eve partook of the fruit, convinced her husband Adam to partake of the same fruit, and then they went and hid themselves, hid their nakedness from Christ, from God. And then, when they finally came out, they had covered themselves with leaves, and God gave birth to hope. Because God took, for what I believe was the first time ever, and killed one of his creations in a lamb, and clothed them with the skin of that lamb, and by the shedding of the blood of that lamb, he created hope that they could see Christ again. They could see God again. And from that day forward, we've needed hope. We needed something to assure us that tomorrow can be better than today. Our future is determined by how much hope we have. Your future is a bleak place if you don't have hope. Have you ever been to that place that you just were not sure tomorrow would be better than today? It's called depression. That's what it's called. And I've been there. I lived there. Where I was convinced, and forgive me, I know I'm getting off track here, but I just feel like I need to say this. I know what it's like to be a young man, seemingly successful. But all of a sudden, something changed. God told me to do something, and I said no. God told me to do something, and my response, as I've shared many times here, was, do you know who I am? Don't ever ask God if he knows who you are. Do you know who I am? And God said, let me show you who you are. And I lost a job, and I wound up leaving a big church and going to a smaller church as youth pastor. And I was convinced, not just for a week, not just for a month, but for years, that I had peaked in my ministry at 27. Now, when you peak at 27, you got a long downhill road. If I believe that I peaked at 27, that means that I did not believe that there was anything better coming the rest of my ministry. 27 was a couple of years ago now. Okay, a couple of decades ago now. And now, by some standards, maybe I haven't achieved what I achieved at 27. Maybe I haven't worked in the large churches like I did at 27. However, I had to understand that when I walk, it's not about the crowds. It's not about what other people think. Wesley, in your future, you may do some things that everybody look at and go, wow, that was great. But you will find out that there are some things that God leads you into that everybody else will scoff at, that you will look back as your greatest accomplishments. When we follow God, We find our hope because we know that God can make tomorrow better than today. So I want you to find your hope. I want you to open your Bible with me. Amen. Y'all just excited I finally got to the scripture. Maybe I'll quit soon. Second Timothy. No, it is First Timothy. I wrote it wrong on the slide. First Timothy chapter 4:10. I hope I got it right in the thing. Yeah, I do. Okay, good. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, do not waste time arguing over godly things. Instead, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I pray that you would lead us in your word. Lord, as we seek your knowledge and we seek your power, we seek your understanding, show us the paths that we should take to find our hope. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I begin to look at this scripture, the first thing that I see, the first thing that I notice is Paul. If you want your future to be bright, Wesley, if you want your future to be bright, those a little older than Wesley, if you want your future to be bright, those of you a little younger than Wesley, don't waste time arguing. Man, I could preach a whole sermon here. Me and my wife have been married for 24 years. We love each other. I can come over here and I can look at my wife. She closes her eyes. Because when I talk like this and I look at her, no matter, see, she's doing it right now. She twinkles. Her eyes just. And that twinkling is the love that she has for me. She loves me. But I'm telling you, in 24 years, I have not been able to convince her to do anything that makes sense. She still likes teams like the New York Yankees. She doesn't like football, but if you force her to pick a football team, she's always going to say the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, but in the American League, I'm a Baltimore Orioles fan. And she's a New York Yankees fan. They clash. The Eagles and the Cowboys clash. I try to convince her that y'all is a violent. When we. Well, because she couldn't cook well, she cooked great, but I couldn't convince her to cook good. She made great dishes of this kind of pasta and this and that, and all, but I couldn't convince her the need to fry anything. And I'm raised in the South. We fry. I'd much rather have fried. Slimy, nasty. But for 24 years, some of you have seen this on Facebook. We have wasted more time now. Credit time. We get into these things and but you know how many arguments that you get into that just waste your time? One of the things you're going to learn about your future, whether it's Wesley or anybody else, the older I put a post up a couple weeks ago on Facebook. I don't know, it was one of those days I was just feeling very, oh. And I talked about in the post something about to all the parents of younger kids, enjoy the time you've got because you're going to blink and they're not going to be there anymore. Today, me and Michael went and rode motorcycles. But it wasn't like it's always been before where Michael was riding behind me. He was on his own motorcycle in front of me. And I thought, he's a man. Probably coming up in the next few weeks, Anthony has told us that he's going to come visit us before he leaves. We'll believe it when we see it. But when he comes to visit, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends who have motorcycles, see if I can borrow a bike from somebody. And me and my two sons are going to go out together and ride because we all ride bikes now. But it's not like it was when they were little. Michael's fifth birthday, I put him on the back of a motorcycle and held him. Time he was six, I banned him from a motorcycle. Twice. First time because he fell asleep. The second time because he tried to jump off the bike at about 40 miles an hour. I caught him out of the corner. But as I've gotten older, I realize that time is precious. I'm not the oldest person in the room. Beth is. But I'm not the oldest person in the room. But I'm going to tell you something. I bet you could ask anybody here that's over the age of 40 if time is valuable. And you start to say yes. I was at the hospital today. I was talking to Helen. And we were talking about, she was teasing me about the fact that I wouldn't reschedule my cruise for her surgery. I couldn't believe you wouldn't reschedule that cruise for my surgery. I said, not only that, I said, when I went on the ride yesterday, I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Because I was listening to music through it, and I didn't want to hear phone calls coming in and go, oh, should I turn around and go back? Because I began to understand that I need time too. Let me tell you something. When we get into arguments, we waste time. Yeah. Wesley, let me tell you something about your future. I'm going to come back here and tell you this. I love your mama. She's a great lady. You're never going to change her. She's going to be just like this forever. Okay, I know I've got a mom like that. She's going to be like that. He's going, really? Oh, baby. No, she's always going to like baby you, and you're always going to be her little guy. My mother still is. You know, she still does the same thing. Your dad's always going to know a little more than you know in his mind. And you can argue about it all you want, but it ain't going to change. When we argue about stuff, as we get older, we realize we're not going to convince anybody of anything else. I've never convinced somebody to change with an argument. The only time I've ever convinced people to change anything, it's been out of discussion and teaching. Never out of argument. Paul here says, don't waste time. Then he goes into detail about ungodly things or old wives' tales. Don't argue about what you heard. Teach about what you know. Don't argue about how you heard it preached. I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, One of the biggest challenges in my life is that sometimes I have to stand and I have to look at myself and I have to prepare for a sermon and I have to say, okay, is this biblical or is this what I heard preached? Because sometimes they don't mesh. And because I heard some preacher preaching, don't mean it's the truth. When I come across a dear friend who has major differences in how he interprets the Bible, I had to quickly make a decision. Are we going to argue or are we going to study together? And I began my study by saying, God, let me forget everything I've heard and let me see what you wrote. Don't waste time arguing about ungodly things, about old wives' tales. If you want your future to have power and to have hope, to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. You know, when I read this passage, he says, don't waste time arguing over God. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. Now, Wesley makes me sick. Wesley's probably got all of a half of a percent of body fat. He's tall. He's not bulky muscles, but you can tell he's got some muscle tone there. He's athletic. He's a basketball player, a track runner. Man, my idea of track running is to run from here to there, and I better be in the spirit or I'm going to be dead. He's physically fit. And that's great. I wish I was in better shape. Not enough to actually work out, but I wish I was in better shape. I would love to be thinner. Wouldn't love it enough to quit eating dessert, but I wish I was thinner. But here's what Paul said. Paul says, don't waste your time arguing about stuff that don't matter. But instead, train yourself to be godly. And then he goes on, he says, physical training is good. It's a good thing. But spiritual training is far better. Physical training, you're going to be fit. You're going to be in shape. Can I tell you, I'm going to be a little morbid on a graduation celebration night. I have walked up to caskets with muscular, slender people, dead as a doornail. And they had no muscle anymore. But when you spiritually train, you not only have benefits now, but you also have benefits in eternity. See, the older I get, the more I'm understanding what matters is what's eternal. Now, Pastor, are you saying it doesn't matter? We can eat whatever we want? No, that's just stupid. That means that we've got to take care of the rest. He said physical training was good. You know, I've never really thought about it until I'm even talking even right now. This indicates to me maybe, I don't know what Timothy looked like, but maybe Timothy was a young man that was in shape. Maybe he liked to run. Or he liked to do, you know, lift things or whatever. He wanted to be in shape. And Paul may have said, look, what you do physically, that's great. But you need to work spiritually. Now, how do you train to be godly? The first thing you do is you eat right. Wesley, when you get to college, especially College of the Ozarks, you're going to have chapel services because it's a Christian school. You're going to have friends that are going to go to a church somewhere in the area. You'll find a church to go to, and that'll be great. But if you never open this book, and you just go to chapel, and you just go to church, and you just do the Bible classes you're required to do, you will not be spiritually fit. Because church don't do it. Oh, I'm not saying don't come to church. You need church. It fills a role. We don't forsake the gathering together of the saints. And Wesley, let me tell you, you need to get involved in a church and committed. You need that. But you don't get healthy going to church. You know why some of you are anemic spiritually? Because the only scripture you ever get is what I read. Some of you haven't opened the Bible in 4 years. Because when you come to church, I put the scripture on the screen. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to come in one of these days, I'm going to say, open your Bibles with me. And when the screen is going to come up, it's going to be black. And you know what most of you will do? You'll look back at Jennifer. Jennifer, fix it! See, I love the screens. Most of you know that for years I didn't even carry a Bible. Because I had it all on my phone, I had it on the screen, so my Bible was at home on my desk. We've got to start using this book. Our Wednesday night Bible study has so fired me up. Because we've been studying and reading. And now you open my Bible, especially in the book of Matthew. And there's highlights and underlines and notes. And I'm saying, man, I'm going to look back at this one of these and go, why did I mark all this up? Then I thought, no, then I'll just look at it again and say, what was that that made me underline that? Get in the Word and read the Word. That's how you train physically, spiritually. You know how else you train spiritually? Get on your knees and pray. Not now I lay me down to sleep. Not Santa Claus prayers. Santa Claus prayers is, I want a fire truck and a football and $1 million and to own my own cruise line. After our cruise, I told Beth, when we retire, I got to have enough money to take a cruise a month. That way we can eat good for at least 1 week a month. Because if we pay for a cruise a month, we'll be eating peanut butter and jelly the rest of the month. But when I say get on your knees and pray, it's not asking. It's not form. It's communicating with God. It's just talking to Him. Just everything for... I'm not a great fan of Benny Hinn. Most people know I'm not a great fan of any TV preachers. I don't hate them. I just don't really watch them. But Benny Hinn wrote a book several years ago called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I never read the book, but the title ministered to me. Because what would happen if we just started getting up and understanding that the Holy Ghost, that Jesus, that the Father, they're that personal to us. Every morning I get up, I tell my wife, good morning. Every time before I leave the house, I give my wife a kiss. 98% of the time. If I don't, she usually goes, what's up? She can be asleep, and I'll give her a kiss before I leave. Why? Because she's my wife. I've been mad at her. We've been angry at one another, and I was leaving. And still walk over and give her a kiss before I leave. What if we did that with God? If we would teach ourselves to just communicate with God through prayer, through Bible reading, through church attendance, financially, all these things that we just connect with God. We build ourselves spiritually. When you work out with weights, it hurts. You have pain. When you work out in the Spirit, there will be some pain. The devil will attack. It's going to hurt. But you just keep moving. Your future is determined by what you spend your time in the present. Yesterday you can't fix. Tomorrow is determined by the decisions I make now. If I spend my time arguing and complaining and moaning and groaning and tomorrow is in flux. But if I spend my time in the Word and in prayer and seeking God's will and seeking God's plan and sometimes making tough decisions to tell friends, no, I'm not doing that, or to say I don't agree with that and being willing to stand on the Word, our tomorrow, rest assuredly, is set up and our future becomes brighter and our future becomes secured. Why? Because we have hope. Paul, as he continues this encouragement to Peter, he says, listen, physical training is good, but spiritual training is better, bringing benefits both in this life and the life to come. The trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. I love that line. Basically, if I could translate that for you, Paul, in that verse just says, what I'm saying is good, you need to listen. So, what I'm saying is good, you need to listen. You know our problem? We've become immune to sermons. We've been inoculated so much. Wesley, you have a challenge in front of you. Because you've been raised around church most of your life. You've heard sermons so long. You heard some good sermons. And then 4 years ago, you had to start listening to mine. And you know, luckily you had Pastor Bradley and Pastor Brian to keep giving you some good stuff. But I was raised like you. I was raised in church. I'm going to tell you, you get inoculated. If you don't know what inoculated means, it means that you're given just enough that you get immune to it. When they give, I don't think they do it anymore, when they used to give us the polio vaccine, it was actually polio. It smelled good. I don't know. When they used to give us the polio vaccine, they were actually giving us polio. But just enough to make us immune to the real thing. Or to the virus. There's a lot of people sitting in church have been in church so long they've got inoculated. They've had just enough religion to be immune to it. They sit back and they look and they go, well, I've heard that before. We talked about this morning. I want to go back. Paul here stops in the middle of his teaching and says, listen, Timothy, what I'm telling you is good. And everybody should be doing this. But Wesley, I'm going to tell you, they're not. There's a lot of people out there that'd rather argue with you than study. There's a lot of people out there that don't want to build their life godly, on godly principle. They don't want to build up their godliness in their life. What they want to build is their domain in the church. Don't let them hinder you. Don't let them stop. Here's what Paul says. He says, this is why we work hard and continue to struggle. Everybody doesn't do it. But I'm going to tell you why we work hard, why we're willing to go through the struggles, why we're willing to go through the hard time. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and particularly of all believers. He says the reason we're willing to fight for this is because our hope is not in the church. The reason I'm willing to stand and struggle to have a bright future is because my future is not determined by Sister Ann. My future is not determined by my wife. My future is not determined by my mama or my daddy. My future, my hope, is in the living God. If I can leave you with any word, Wesley, as you're graduating this week, and this week's going to be one of the great weeks of your life, I remember my graduation from high school like it was yesterday. My dad embarrassed me. It was... back in those days, I said awesome at everything. Awesome. Awesome. That's awesome. They called my name, and I hear over everybody else in the whole place. Oh! Oh, Dad, you are not awesome. I remember those days. They were great. But I'm going to tell you something. Your hope is not in a college degree. Your hope is not in a piece of paper you're going to get next Sunday. Your hope is not based around what your class does or how big the school you graduate from is. Your hope for your future rests in the hands of a living God. A living God. I don't serve a dead God. My hope is not in the hands of ancient that used to be here and isn't anymore, but my hope is in the hands of a living God. A living God who is the Lord and Savior of all people, particularly of all believers. I love that Paul put that in. That is an amazing line. I'm going to read it again, whether you want me to or not. Hallelujah. We got dessert coming. We don't need to hurry. For our hope is in a living God who is the Savior of all people and particularly of all believers. You hear that? He is the Savior of all people, whether they believe Him or not. He's done the salvation work. And particularly the Savior of those that believe Him enough to accept it. Good news for you. Our future rests on our decisions. And the first decision we got to make is a decision to accept Christ. To accept His gift of salvation. So as I conclude this message, Wesley, let me say these words to you. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas or old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Promising benefits in this life and the life to come. It's a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle. For our hope is in a living God who is the Savior of all people, and particularly all believers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,